Welcome to another Menevite Gang podcast for Saturday, October 4th, 2008. And we've got Phil Wilson, Tim Elliott, and Graham Thickens on the phone. How you guys doing?
Morning, all. Great.
Doing great.
Excellent, excellent.
Stone Lake, Wisconsin.
I don't even know where is Stone Lake, Wisconsin.
It's just south of Hayward in some gorgeous lake country, and we've got the fall colors going on here, and 65 and sunny, and I'm getting 5 bars on my AT&T broadband card, so I'm a happy dude.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, let's get started right away. I want to hear all about MEMA and how that went, Graham.
Sure, sure, yeah. Well, it was a big success for the organization, Minnesota Interactive Marketing Association. I don't know how many years they've been doing this event now, but I think this was the largest attendance ever. They've been doing it at least 5 or 6 years, I think. More than 700. They sold out the place. The venue couldn't handle anymore. They sold out weeks in advance, actually, and so they were very happy with it. I blogged about it on Menevite. I thought the content left some things to be desired, but as I said, I was there mainly, and I think most everybody else was too, for the interactions and the schmoozing and the networking, and it was a blab fest extraordinaire, and many great connections were made, and some great out-of-town speakers. We had Zay Frank as our lunch speaker, and he was just over-the-top great. The guy speaks at conferences like TED and other yep. other highbrow affairs like that, and you can tell he's very well practiced and very well coached, and it was the highlight of the day for me. And we had some other great out of town speakers and panelists as well, speaking on mobile, on Twitter, on social media. We had the director of creative services and branding from Zappos. A great guy who spoke and I chatted with afterwards, and several other good out of town speakers. So I think it was a great showcase event for Minnesota, particularly to these folks from out of town that participated. I talked to a guy from the Houston area that has a similar organization that came just to see how Minnesota does things, because this has got to be one of the biggest interactive marketing organizations in the country, 10 years old now. In fact, they honored, it might even be more than 10, might be 11. They honored a couple of the founders who hatched the idea for the club over coffee 10 or 11 years ago. And they were there, and I actually was there with them when they were, when they were founding this thing. So it's grown to be an amazing organization, close to 1,000 members now. It, like I said on the post, it packed out the great depot downtown, which is quite a nice venue for something like this. But I think next year they're going to have to move it to an even larger venue, because a lot of people couldn't get in that wanted to get in, and that's my segue to Phil to talk about the UN-Summit.
Yeah,
that cropped up just weeks before, maybe just a couple of weeks before, and
Was it even that? So I think it was might have been like 10 days.
it sounded like it was a great fun, and the president of MEMA paid homage to it right from the podium in front of everybody, and thought it was great that they were so successful with their event that it caused another event to crop up around it. So I'll let you talk about that, Phil.
Yeah, it was really a great time. It was really put together by Don Ball, Don decided that, he basically couched it a couple of weeks ago that it was an idea spawned because some folks have procrastinated too long and didn't get tickets to the MEMA summit. And so he thought, well, let's just go ahead and have our own UN-summit. And it was based on the concept of the UN-conference that has become very popular. So there really wasn't a set agenda at the very outset. They kind of took in anybody who wanted to make a little presentation or do a discussion. And I really enjoyed it. It was held over at the local, which, you know, anytime you can have access to a nice Guinness at 9 and 10 in the morning, that's not a bad deal. So, and there were actually people that took advantage of that. And so it was loose and relaxed to at the very outset. We had basically three spaces going, and we took advantage of their new space at the local. I think it's called the Hollow. I'm not really sure, but it's sort of a bunker like room, but it was very conducive to the 50 or so people that showed up, and the food was good and the conversation was wonderful. I detailed at least the session topics on the Minivate post in my review. So we had a great time. It really was well done. And it was, again, it was designed as an extension of the summit rather than a competition to the summit. You know, again, a lot of people that didn't act quickly enough to get tickets to the MEMA summit. But there were also those that were there because they didn't want to dole out the $300 or $295 to attend a one-day summit, or didn't want to go to the MEMA summit, or, you know, were afraid of crowds or whatever. So it was a much more intimate discussion on very much the same topics, mostly centered on social media and, you know, ways to integrate it into the marketing mix, what the potential is for it. You know, one of the most aggressive sessions was Corey Hendrickson from the LASIK group decided to tackle, you know, determining ROI on social media. So I was really very excited about that, because we always talk about that. How do you prove the return on investment? So I think, oh, well, here's this guy. He's got it cracked. We'll go for it. And not so much. But we did have a great conversation about it and what needs to be done with it. And to tell how well linked it was to the MEMA summit at about, oh, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we received a call-in round of drinks, compliments of Matt Wilson over at the MEMA summit. So we enjoyed some Irish beer on the folks at MEMA. It was great.
That's fun.
That's pretty cool.
So what was the audience like in each group? I mean, what were the kinds of attendees at MEMA? What were the kinds of attendees at the UN conference?
Well, I'll talk about the main MEMA summit first. It's heavily advertising oriented and agency oriented. And unfortunately, a lot of the non-agency people, I don't think, relate to a lot of the stuff that's going on there. Some of the sessions are really more for media buyers and agency folks. It's largely a downtown agency crowd that are members of the organization. I mean, as it's gotten larger and larger, there's a whole mix of folks, but I think the one complaint that I did hear is that it wasn't interactive enough, which I found funny. But I think what people meant by that is they wanted more discussion. You know, it's not that there weren't chances for intimate discussions except in the hallways and around the tables at lunch and breakfast and so forth. But in a group that large, it's very hard to have intimate, you know, groups of 10 or 20 or 30, as the UN Summit was able to do, because a lot of these breakout sessions were packed rooms of 150 or more. And a lot of the sessions, as I said in my post, were kind of disappointing. There were some breakout sessions where I wasn't interested in any of the sessions. And then there were at least two where there were six sessions at a time that were, you know, where I couldn't decide which one am I going to go to. A lot of them were good, you know, and so that's always a frustration at these things. The kinds of attendees at the summit are heavily tilted towards advertising and web marketing, you know, SEO and that kind of thing.
Any discussion about tools? I mean, when you think about a show like AdTech, that, you know, really gets into analytics and a lot of the social media analysis tools and things of that nature.
I think our friend Lee Auden, the local SEO analytics guru, led one session. I don't think there were any vendors talking about new tools or anything like that. There were some exhibitors at the happy hour event. I didn't get a chance to cover all those, but it seemed like there were six or eight at least exhibitors. Well, and I should say Google was there with a booth. But I think it was primarily their ad network people from New York and Chicago. And one of those guys spoke about ad networks versus ad exchanges, and I sat in on that session. But it was
that's where you got your nap, isn't it?
yeah, that was one where I was dozing off a little. It was heavily geeky towards media buyers, and that was one of those sessions where I chose a breakout that maybe wasn't the greatest, but you know, I had to pick and choose. I sat in on the mobile event. You know, I of course would do that with my, you know, current employer. Obviously, I wanted to hear what the mobile guys had to say, and because of that, I missed the Zappos section on Twitter session on Twitter. But you know, that's the danger of these things. You know, you can't ever go to all the events, so you have to choose one and wish you were in the other, you know, kind of thing.
Hey, Graham, did you get the sense that the agency audience is sort of getting social media?
There was a huge amount of Twittering going on, live Twittering at the event. And, in fact, that's when we had the most fun, was in the opening keynote, which was just boring. We were having way too much fun on the back channel. And, talking about one of the handouts in the swag bag was a recorder, you know, one of those, you know, plastic flute kind of things, you know. And we were talking about, you know, starting to play our recorders and stuff like that. And
just out of curiosity, Graham, why was there a recorder in the bag?
Well, the guys that they hired to do the promo video for the event, a comedy team from North Carolina. One of them, they're a comedy slash musical act, and one of them plays the recorder. That's his instrument.
Gotcha.
And this video, if you get a chance to play it, go to, is it just mimasummit.org? I've got the link in the post. They should have a link to that video. It's pretty hilarious. These guys are really good. In fact, I guess they were there and did a little gig where they played, but I don't recall seeing that. I must have been heavy into discussion or a glass of wine at the happy hour where I missed them, but I guess they were live on site. So that was the reason for the recorder. But I mean, the swag bag was just full of stuff. I mean, only a marketing group could have a swag bag like this. I mean, there was so much stuff in there. I could hardly even get to the bottom of it. But it was fun. I mean, you know, they make it a gathering of, you know, marketing types and I don't think anybody left that didn't feel that they got a lot of value out of it. But like all events like this, it's really with the people you meet and the relationships you start. I met some great folks that'll be, real interest going forward and a lot of things that I'm involved in. So,
well, but you know, the reason I asked the question about tools is that over and over and over again, what comes up is how do I measure our impact in social media? Back to your ROI discussion, Phil, how do I quantify how my brand is being discussed? Mm-hmm. And how do I measure if we do X, we end up achieving Y?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, I mean, this is one of the accusations that I get often when, you know, there's a case built for why you need to be a transparent organization and why you need to be in the game connected, is it's too amorphous, that it's it's interesting, and yes, you have to be in a conversation, but how does that conversation scale? How do you manage the conversation? How do you make sure that the right message is going out in that conversation? And there's some real challenges there.
Well, I think right now that it came up in those discussions that we had at the UN summit, and there were some really good conversations. It was a completely different from what the summit was. It was all about intimate conversations and small groups rather than large presentations and giant swag bag and things. I think our swag bag consisted, I had the word Cheetos on the outside of it. So, you know, it was a much smaller group, and probably the only real tools we talked about was, the Snap-on calendar or something like that. But there was really no need to get too deep into it. It was designed for a much smaller grassroots group. And we talk a lot about social media and social marketing. And what I find interesting is there are a lot of companies that are really interested or dipping their toe into social media. But it's much more of a monitoring, not marketing situation right now. I think you talk about all these people that are on Twitter or have Facebook or whatever, and they're really kind of there to be reactive and not necessarily proactive. So people monitor to see their brand pop up on whatever channel it is and then react to it at that point rather than being proactive and being in the space, trying to, I don't know, literally market to these people rather than monitor them.
Well, and you know what I'm struck by? I mean, with your blog, Tim, timelliott.us, how you've stuck your friend feed on the front page because mm-hmm. you're doing things in so many different venues. Can you talk about that and what it means to you to be in the game and to be doing things in multiple different areas?
Well, you get spread out. So I did that because, I have three blogs and, a number of other, three Twitter accounts and a whole bunch of other places where content is built. So I thought it only made sense to just use the friend feed widget, which I supersized and put right on the homepage and move the blog, into the website. And I think that's more of a reflection on what I'm doing than what I'm doing on that particular blog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you work with your wine industry, clients, when you're positioning this and you're helping them be aware of what's going on, how do you define that?
We have kind of a process we go through of really understanding what they want to accomplish first and then what their comfort level is with social media. So a lot of times that's starting a blog, it's getting going, it's helping them figure out what kind of subjects to blog on, who to read so they can become part of the community and start to contribute. And then if they get that, then we kind of add Twitter to the mix and we do it a piece of a time. So, it's a very conservative agricultural industry. It's not like high tech at all. There are some people from high tech that kind of get this natively, and they're doing some interesting things with video especially. But for the most part, they're just farmers, and getting them to kind of dip their toe in the pool is take some effort.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, as it does really in any venue, I think.
Yeah. Well, I had a kind of an interesting experience this week where there was a friend of the family, of a wife of my folks' friends. I didn't explain that very well, but anyway. Went to the funeral. Yeah, somebody we knew went to the funeral, and I had not seen the son, who's my age. I haven't seen this guy for like 25 years. He was down working for NASA in Florida, and one thing led to another, and it looked like he was going to have this amazing career in the space industry, and he ended up moving to Beck, to Minnesota, and went up to Babbitt, and he's now a foreman in a iron range plant. And loves it. I mean, just loves being up there, loves the outdoors and so forth. And believe it or not, we got into a discussion about broadband on the Iron Range and social media. And there's a surprising amount of awareness of what's going on relative to the net. And there's a lot of demand that's growing up in the range for bandwidth, especially amongst businesses who really understand that they're going to get left behind if they don't move forward. And are you guys experiencing anything? I mean, Graham, you're up in Wisconsin right now. I mean, are you guys, this is all anecdotal, but are you experiencing anything that's social media related that's really outside of urban areas?
In what respect? You mean companies?
Well, just organizations or people. Yeah, or people that you're running into
When you brought up the range, I met a great lady at the pre-reception at the Walker Arts Center the night before the summit. You got to know about rangebuzz.com. She's based up in Virginia, Minnesota. Her name is Kat Grismacher. But if you just go to rangebuzz.com, she's running what sounds like a neat site up there. It's not just about tech, but...
I think we met her at the Citizen Journalism, Journalism That Matters conference, Steve.
Cool.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, because I've seen this before. Mm-hmm. I'll put this in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's stuff going on up there for sure. But am I aware of anything else outside of the metro areas in Minnesota? No. I mean, my focus is the Twin Cities pretty much. And other than, I was just going to ask Tim, other than turning him on to that top 25 list of wineries in Minnesota, I didn't even know there were 25 wineries in Minnesota. but obviously,
I know of 25 winos in Minnesota, but that,
there actually aren't 25 on the top 25 list. I have it in front of me. There's only 21 wineries, and the number 21 winery here made 48 cases, which I made 50 cases last vintage. So I should be the 21st largest winery in Minnesota.
Okay, that's all.
Although I made the wine in San Francisco, so I guess it doesn't count.
Where do you live again, Tim? I'm coming over.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, like I said, there's that may be the close. I mean, whatever Tim's doing with wineries may be the most thing happening out in the rural areas with social media. But, you know, I shouldn't say that. Our buddies up in Grand Forks, the Mac software guys, they're huge into it. You know, Grand Forks is not exactly a major metropolitan area. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, if you've got a pipe and everybody's got a fairly decent pipe, it's never enough. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. Social media is everywhere, and it will increasingly be. And I was going to say, you know, I wish when we were talking about metrics or measuring things, I wish I could have heard what the Zappos guy had to say, because I certainly imagine he touched on that in his session on making the customer connection in 140 characters or less was the name of that session. And, they should have like a video posted of these different sessions. I hope they do on the MimaSummit.org site. I mean, it's just got all kinds of feeds on it. So maybe people can go there and click through and actually watch this guy's presentation. I think I want to do that if it's out there myself. So,
yeah,
on the subject of metrics and social media campaign metrics in particular, I had a conversation yesterday with a customer, and it just seems that with the economic situation that we're having right now, that people are questioning everything. So they're getting kind of hypersensitive about it. You know, is this money well spent? Should I retrench to promotional kinds of things that I have been doing for years and years and years, and cutting some of the kind of the new social media kinds of things? So yeah, is anybody else seeing that same trend?
Oh, there's absolutely no question. There's no question at all. And in fact, it's what's been fascinating to me is the shift that's gone on just in the last couple of weeks with respect to questions on how do we do something, fill in the blank, whether it's, you know, a forum or a blog or, some method of reaching out to customers in new ways that don't cost any money.
So you're seeing a shift to social media? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I'm just seeing a shift in the questions and the queries rather than have it be, you know, an extension of their enterprise content management system, or how do we connect into our unified communications platform with social media. So the questions are not so much that direction as they are, how do we get moving on this, but do it in a way that essentially doesn't cost any money?
Well, you know, and social media doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, it takes participation by an individual or more than one individual within a company. So I find I don't find it really realistic that people are saying, well, God, we've got to measure what we're spending here. You know, what are they spending? You know, who's spending large amounts of money on social media? I'd love to know. It doesn't take a lot of money. It takes some time and some effort by someone within the organization. I don't think too many organizations are out there saying, oh, God, we got to hire a social media expert. I haven't seen a lot of that yet. It's taken on by people who are already in the organization. They take it on as a side thing. They learn it, they do it, and it just takes off, you know. So I think it's an amazingly right technology for the times. We're coming into difficult economic times, but you know, so that's great for social media, I say.
Well, I would, yeah, and actually for a lot of Web 2.0 type of offerings, because it's there are a substantial number of alternatives to doing things with much more impact and with a lot less cost. But you know, let's shift a little bit here in our discussion to the whole credit crunch and everything that's going on. And I picked up, I know you guys also read that TechCrunch article about VCs and startups won't be immune to the credit crunch. And it was about what was happening relative to investment and so forth. And then our guest from 2 weeks ago, Catherine Grayson in the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal, had an article, "With Credit Tight, Young Companies Keep Closer Eye on Cash." And she talked about Adam Elliott, CEO of ID Insight, the winner of the Minnesota Cup Award, who, is keeping an eye on cash. Everybody's keeping an eye on cash. But what are you seeing happen relative to just discussions with VCs and angel investing and companies that you're working with, startups and entrepreneurs that are trying to figure out, now where do we go? What do we do next if we're going to run out of cash? Or
well, you know, I think obviously everyone's feeling the pinch. You know, the angels and the VCs are watching their own portfolios go down in value. The founders are as well, and so naturally people are going to tighten up, I think. I like to think though that our Midwest angels are maybe a little less inclined to overreact and everybody's running around in the valley with their hair on fire. You know, if you believe these stories, and the New York Times is writing about it, that, oh God, the sky is falling. And, you know, I don't agree that the sky is falling. And I think our Midwest angels and investors are much more conservative. And unfortunately, that's in good times too. But, you know, the plus side now is in bad times, it's probably better to be conservative. And I still think the investing will continue. I don't think it's gonna stop by any means. I think all companies, founders and their advisors, their boards and their investors are looking at reducing expenses. Ron Conway, the Uber angel of them all in Silicon Valley, was quoted this way in one of those stories. He's advising all his portfolio companies to look at their expenses and cut where they can. You know, it's only natural. But I like to think that our Midwest folks are not just going to go into a bunker here and not do anything. I think, good business plans will always continue to get funded. And I know several out there now that are certainly in that realm, and I don't think that those things are hopeless for them by any stretch of the imagination, and it just might be take a little longer to raise money, and it's hard to argue with the folks that are saying you know, the sky is falling crowd saying that, oh, there's going to be all these startups having to fold up and go home, you know. Well, yeah, you know, bad, weak, you know, Me Too kind of ideas. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be one of them, you know. You better have a unique business plan, and you better know where you're at, and you better be able to articulate your unique reason for being.
Right.
And you better, you know, practice that elevator pitch really, really well to cut through all the, you know, the Me Too-ism out there.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's, you know, watching the investments being made by Warren Buffett and GE and Goldman Sachs, and listening that $5 billion investment by Buffett was actually at a 15% interest rate is what it turns out to be, and which is supposedly a harbinger of massive inflation just around the corner. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, Atea is in the collaboration space, the communication space, you know, the ability to market in new ways through social media. All of these are extraordinarily compelling cloud-based directions. And we have a lot of startups right here in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota that are moving in that exact direction.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Like we chatted about in the last podcast, SaaS is a good place to be in these times.
Absolutely.
I'm high on those kind of companies in this in this climate, even more so in this climate.
Well, and it's interesting because the that when I had mentioned the shift from extending enterprise software to what do we do to move into blogging as an example or other areas and do so on the cheap rather than, you know, have it be an extension of a platform that we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars integrating with our current enterprise platforms, that shift has gone on. I think that's a good thing for startups that are doing SaaS-based apps is there's going to be a significant look at you know, Google Apps, Zoho, and then, you know, even LoudClick and OnePlace right here in Minnesota. I mean, people are going to look at these applications and ask the question, how can we use them?
By the way, I was just delighted to hear that Steve Kickert of OnePlace is going to be on a panel at DFRAG in early
November
in Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great place for him to be for that that wonderful tool that they have just released and helped spread the word out there in a very good crowd of folks that all the players in the collaboration and enterprise 2.0 kind of space that are going to be there. So
yep.
That was great.
Yep. Well, do you guys have anything you want to end with here? Anything that is,
You know, just briefly, I'd like to thank the folks over at the UnSummit for making it such a great event. That includes, of course, Don Ball, who was organizer, but also Michael Ropentein and Meg Canada from Hennepin County Libraries that did a great job. And I'm sure others that I don't even know that made that come together so quickly and really be a lot of time well spent. So thank you very much for that.
Great.
Yeah, I think we should also mention, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say those folks are great. We've got such a high energy group of local social media folks, but and one thing, Tim, sorry to interrupt, but one thing